I'm excited to cap off this series on discovering God's will. I want to tell you a little story of something that happened to me a long time ago. Probably I was like 19, 20 years old. So my sister, Talisa, my older sister, she's my only sister, Talisa, decided to invite me to a singles conference that a friend of hers was going to at her church. So we drove together to this singles conference, and we were sitting at a table together, and a nice young lady was sitting next to me. And so I struck up a conversation, like a 19, 20-year-old does. And she, you know, she was nice. She seemed like she was a very nice person. And so we started talking, and we were talking for a couple minutes, and then, you know, I think because of the time of the day, she had to go to a meeting or something like that, so she left. And I was thinking to myself, man, I wish I had the confidence to follow up or ask her for a number or something like that, but she's probably not interested anyway. I'm thinking this in my head, right? My sister turns to me and says, why didn't you ask her for a number? I said, well, she didn't seem like she was interested. And she was like, yes, she did. I was, really? I was totally clueless that whatever signals were going on, I didn't pick up on them at all. I figured, well, she's not interested, so, you know, just let it go. But sometimes that can happen in life. Have you ever been in a situation where somebody was sending you signals? They didn't have to be romantic signals at all. It could just any kind of signal, and you just were totally oblivious to those signals, or maybe it just didn't register. I'll give you another example. Have you ever, someone close to you, ever give you some advice, maybe about your character, or about maybe about even your career? You know, you should, you know, you need to really work on your patience, you know? And they tell you this, and then, you know, months go by, maybe years go by, and then someone else tells you, you know, you need to work on your patience. And then you go home and tell that person who's close to you, you know what, someone such and such told me I need to work on my patience. I think they're right. And they look at you and say, I've been telling you that for how long now? For months now, and you just didn't seem to, it didn't register, right? Or when you were a student, your parents would tell you, study, apply yourself. I think every parent at some point in their life has said, apply yourself, right? But for some reason, those signals just don't register right away. So we sometimes in life, when it comes to communicating with people, we don't have a signal problem. We have a sensitivity problem in terms of being sensitive to those signals that are coming our way so that they register to us and make an impact on us. And, you know, sometimes our relationship with God can be the same way, where God is sending us a lot of signals, but it's just not registering, or we're just not sensitive to those signals that are being sent. And to prove this to you, I just want to show you something really quickly. In John chapter 5, Jesus said something very important. Jesus said, my Father is what? Always working. Always working. Whether you are feeling like you're living in complete purity or you're living in complete sin, God is always working. Whether you feel like you deserve God to be working or you don't deserve God to be working, God is always working. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter the chaos, no matter the order, no matter whether you're up, down, left, right, fast, slow, God is always working, Jesus said. And so am I. Jesus explained, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does, for the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he is doing. When it comes to doing the will of God, one of our primary objectives is to discern what God is doing around us, what God is doing within us, and then join God in that work that he's doing in us or around us. This is the way Jesus lived. He said, I can't do anything by myself. I only do what I see my Father doing. And what qualified Jesus to receive these signals from God telling him what God was doing, what the Heavenly Father was doing? Said that the Father did what? Loves the Son. Because the Father loves the Son, the Father shows the Son everything that he is doing. Now, if you are a follower of Jesus, the scripture says that you are in Christ, right? You are in Christ. You are just as much a son or daughter of God, as the eternal Son is the Son of the Heavenly Father. So the very love that proceeds from the eternal Father to the eternal Son proceeds toward you, because you are in Christ. Your life is hid with God, where? In Christ. You participate in Christ. All right, you belong to Christ. You are in Christ. So the very love that proceeds from the Father to the Son proceeds toward you, which means what? If the Father loves you the way the Father loves the eternal Son, that must mean that the Father is showing you everything that he is doing, right? Because that's the precondition. Not I'm living right. Not because I'm living wrong, but just because the Father loves me. He is showing me what he's doing, inviting me to participate with him. So we don't have a signal problem when it comes to discovering God's will. We have a sensitivity problem. God is sending all the signals, but we aren't sensitive always to those signals. And so what I'd like to share with you briefly today is how we can become more sensitive to those signals coming from the Heavenly Father to show us what he's doing so that we can join him in his work in us and through us. Okay? That sound okay? The message is called sensitivity training. Right? Sensitivity training. We're going to learn how to be sensitive today. And this principle we find in a very very significant passage in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 13. And Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, is describing something that happened when a group of church leaders, Christian leaders, got together in church. And we're not told whether it was a temple or someone's home, but they gathered together in church, and they came together, and together they discerned the will of the Lord through the Holy Spirit. And we're going to unpack why they were sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 13, starting at verse 1. It says, "Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul." If you ever have time to do a study on these leaders here, this is a very diverse, ethnically diverse group of leaders. You know, diverse churches is nothing new. This is something that the early church had already, but was lost as the years went by. But these were a diverse group of leaders that God brought together, prophets and teachers, and they came together. And look at what happened. It says, while they were worshiping the Lord and what? Fasting. Say it again. Fasting. The Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So the Holy Spirit spoke to them. Then after what? Fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. So you probably know what I'm going to be talking about today, right? Oh, yes, the F word, fasting. Fasting, right? Fasting. We don't talk about fasting a lot. We don't talk about fasting a lot, but fasting is a very, very significant spiritual discipline to become sensitive to the Lord, right? The summation of this passage that I want us to take away, that we're going to be talking about here, is that fasting fosters sensitivity to the Spirit. Fasting fosters sensitivity to the Spirit. Fasting fosters sensitivity to the Spirit. How do we know this? Well, let's define what fasting is first. Fasting is abstaining from food for a spiritual purpose. That's what fasting is. Abstaining from food for a spiritual purpose. Okay, and oftentimes the most common form of fasting is fasting from food and liquid except for water. There's different kinds of fasts that we find in the Bible, and you can read books and they'll tell you about all the different kinds of fasts that we see. But the most common form is basically water only. Right? But the significant thing about fasting is that fasting is never done alone. When fasting is done without prayer and worship or some other form of spiritual discipline, it's just dieting. Right? We see here in Acts 13, what were they doing? They were worshiping, There you go. They were worshiping, fasting, and praying. It wasn't just fasting. They were fasting and worshiping and praying. All right. And this is one of the reasons why fasting helps you become sensitive to the Lord. Because one, it centers your attention, centers your focus on the Lord and on the Word. It centers your heart on the Lord and on the Word. So rather than feasting on food, you're feasting on the Lord and feasting on the Word of God. Jesus said, I do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Father. Right? So fasting is a time you set aside to feast on the Lord and on the Word. And you can feast on the Lord through worship, and then you feast on the Word through study. Right? This is one reason why fasting makes you sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. The other reason why fasting makes you sensitive to the Holy Spirit, or fosters sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, is because it creates in you a posture of surrender to the Lord. It gives you a posture of surrender. Sometimes physical action can help posture your internal attitude. This is why the scriptures tell us to raise our hands. You know, raising your hands. What's significant about raising your hands to the Lord? There's something about raising your hands that postures your heart for adoration. It's not the hands that does anything. It's what the hands do to your heart. Sometimes the reason why people kneel down and pray or lay prostrate on the floor in prayer is because that physical action helps posture the heart in a posture and an attitude of surrender. And there's nothing like fasting to make you put your money where your mouth is in terms of saying no to self and yes to God. It postures you for surrender. It postures you to say no to self, yes to God. Okay. And the third reason why fasting makes you sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit is because it actually helps you put into practice the other principles that we've talked about during this series that make you sensitive to the leading of the Lord. And let me show you how. In week one, we said this. We said from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, we said, if you travel in God's general direction, God will give you specific direction. Remember that? Okay. What does fasting do automatically? It makes you move in God's general direction because you're worshiping, you're praying, you're in the Word. So fasting right away makes you move in God's general direction. It kickstarts your life in a way to move in God's general direction. In week two, we said following Jesus is your own decision, but it's not about making decisions on your own. We looked at this from 1 Kings chapter 12 about getting godly counsel, right? How you can discern the will of God through receiving godly counsel, people with experience who walk with God, right? And what does fasting do? Fasting humbles you, all right? David said in the Psalms, I humbled my soul with fasting, right? There's something about fasting that humbles the soul and postures your heart to be humble enough to get advice, to get input from other people so you don't feel like you're doing it all by yourself. Fasting humbles you. In week three, we looked at a soul shaped by Christ in the scriptures is a place where God can speak, right? In Romans 12, we see, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you will be able to discern God's good and perfect will, right? And what does fasting do? Fasting causes you to feast on the Word, to expose your mind, to be shaped by the Word of God, and to allow you to become sensitized to the leading of the Holy Spirit because your mind is now thinking more like Jesus, right? This is fasting. Fasting is doing all these things. It's helping you apply many different principles that sensitize you to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And then lastly, we talked about this last week, God's plan for you often begins with God's burden in you. And there's something about fasting, when you lay aside your physical hunger, it awakens you to your spiritual hunger. Yeah? It awakens you to your spiritual hunger when you lay aside those physical hungers. right? And so fasting fosters sensitivity to the Spirit. And this is why we see the prophets and the teachers in the early church fasting, because they understood the importance of fasting to hear from the Lord, to discern what God was doing. This is why Jesus fasted. This is why Paul fasted. This is why Moses fasted. All the great leaders of the church were men and women of fasting and prayer. All right, so this is what I want you to do. Oh, no, he's about to ask me to go on a fast. Yep, you better believe it, right? Because we don't want to be hearers of the word only, right? We don't want to say, oh, man, what a great message on fasting. Good job, Pastor Murray. I'll see you next week, right? We want to do something with it, right? Now, look, let me tell you, fasting can be easy. Look, I made this easy, right? Easy is 1, 2, 3, okay? This is why I want you to remember this. Fasting, easy is 1, 2, 3. I want you to try this. I want you to pray about this, okay? I want you to fast for 1 day, for 2 meals, for 3 weeks. All right? So I'll do this with you. All right? You can pick a day. All right? I'll do Wednesdays. All right? And if you want to join me on Wednesdays, you can join me on Wednesdays. You fast for breakfast and lunch. All right? So water only, breakfast and lunch, and then you eat dinner at home with your family or whoever you live with. Okay? And we'll do that for 3 weeks. 1 day, 2 meals, 3 weeks. All right? And this is meant to show you how fasting, all right, when done in conjunction with worship and prayer and study of the scriptures, will awaken you, will sensitize you, all right, to the leading of the Holy Spirit and help you see what God is doing in you and around you. Okay, so maybe in breakfast time, instead of eating breakfast, you just spend time in the Word, spend time in prayer, spend time in worship, worshiping the Lord. And then in lunch, instead of going out, wherever you eat lunch, maybe go to your car, you know, a quiet place, you know, turn the car on, get the heat going, right? And just spend time with God, yeah? And take a water bottle with you and just spend time with God. And it will make a difference. It will make a difference, yeah? And let me tell you, there's no replacement for fasting. There's no replacement. You know, it's kind of like saying, well, it's like saying you can get to know God without prayer. You can get to know God without studying the scriptures, you know? Fasting is so important. When Jesus talked in Matthew 6, remember Matthew 6? Jesus said, when you pray, pray in secret, and I will reward you openly. He said, when you give, give in secret, and I will reward you openly. And he says, when you fast, we skipped that part. When you fast, fast in secret, and I will reward you openly. It would be absurd to remove giving out of that teaching. It would be absurd to remove prayer out of that teaching. So we should not remove fasting from that teaching. We should implement fasting as a regular part of our lives, just like prayer, just like worship, just like Bible study, just like coming to church. It should be a regular part of our lives, and it will awaken us to see what the Father is doing. All right? So I want you to take a moment. You can flip over your sermon notes. All right? You've got some questions there that can help you apply, some take some steps, and how to apply this message. Okay, is the Lord telling me I need to do this fast, you know, Wednesdays, breakfast and lunch? You know, just take some time and write it down, and I'll be back in a few minutes.